Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's book, Angels. But first, here's his message, Life in the Spirit.
I have a question to ask you this morning. It's a personal question, but a very important question. Are you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, right now, this moment, consciously, conspicuously, filled with the Spirit of God? We're going to look today at what that means and how that applies and how we can live day after day in the power of God's Spirit. Paul puts it very plainly, Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you want your life to count for Him. Imagine what it could be, what it would be like if all of us were filled with the Spirit of God, ignited by the power of God, and we began to accomplish those things of which our Lord spoke when He said, greater things than I do shall you do. We have the possibility of incredible and wonderful life. It is called life in the Spirit. Many have received salvation, and because you've received Jesus into your life, the Spirit of God indwells you as a believer in Christ. He lives in you. God is in you. Christ lives in you. But while every believer is indwelt by the Spirit of God, not every believer is infilled with the Spirit of God. Not every Christian is controlled by the Spirit. And you know, it is possible. It is possible to be in a Spirit-filled church and around Spirit-filled believers, to be in the company of Spirit-filled worship and Spirit-filled preaching, and to experience all of this and yet never personally experience the wonderful joy of the Spirit-filled life. And my prayer is that today you will be challenged, as I am challenged, to live my life in the Spirit. Is so necessary if we're going to develop character to live godly lives, because the fruit of the Spirit is Christian character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faith, meekness. And so if we're going to grow up in Christ, as we're often challenged in the New Testament, and particularly as we've seen in the book of Ephesians, if we're going to grow up in our faith and give out in our faith, then we must develop Christian character, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Have you made the discovery that the Christian life is not hard? It's impossible to live in your own power and in your own strength. The standards are high. The requirements of righteousness are way up there. And in our own human energy, we're not capable of living the Christian life. And yet we don't have to, because we have been given a helper, a comforter who lives within us to develop this Christian character and to enable us to walk in purity and faith and integrity in our lives. And if we're going to live our lives and to grow in our faith, we must have this ministry of the Holy Spirit. Not only for conforming us to the image of Christ and our character, but also comforting us. The Holy Spirit is present as the comforter who reminds us constantly of the Word of God and the comfort that God gives day by day. The word comfort is a very powerful word. It's a word of strength. And as we face life's challenges and even the crisis points of life, we need more than ourselves. We need the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ in us, comforting us, conforming us, and not only that, connecting us with God. We're told in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 that the Spirit of God is our prayer partner, that He intercedes with us and through us. And when we don't know what to pray or how to pray, what to say when we pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes with us, connecting us with God. We are always connected with Christ. And when we pray, we know that He hears us because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But not only the ministry of comforting and conforming us to Christ and connecting us in prayer, but also His is the ministry of conquering. Conquering, helping us to conquer sin and temptation. He has called us to purity and holiness. No question about that. And then His Spirit is called holy. Now we know God is Holy Father. We know Jesus is the Holy Son of God, but we don't often refer to God as Holy God or in our conversation or even Jesus as Holy Jesus. But when we speak of the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit, we mention that He is the Holy Spirit. Why? Because His primary ministry in us is to enable us to live holy and godly lives in our generation, in these times. Conquering. And then, of course, the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit is communicating. Communicating through us the witness of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when the Spirit is come, He will testify of Me. Beware of any movement that has the Holy Spirit as its figurehead. Because the Holy Spirit's purpose and passion as the third person of the Trinity is always to exalt Jesus Christ, to glorify the Savior, the Son of God, and to enable us to communicate that message of hope and life to the world. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses." These are just a few of these magnificent ministries of the Holy Spirit in us. Conforming us to the image of Christ. Convicting us when we're out of bounds and living outside of the will of God. Connecting us with God in prayer. Communing with us in the Spirit. Communicating through us the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. If you want to live a wonderful life, then discover life in the Spirit. We have been promised, we've been pledged this Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, we're told that we must not grieve the Spirit of God. In other words, we must do nothing to sadden and ultimately stop the work of the Spirit in our lives. There should be no attitude or action or sin that would grieve the Holy Spirit. We're also told in the New Testament that we must not quench the Spirit. We must not put out the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, what does it mean? How would we define this Spirit life, this Spirit-filled life? What does it mean when Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, let's just break that sentence apart for just a few moments. In the language of the New Testament, the Greek language, it is written in the present tense. So literally, it should be translated, be filled now with the Spirit. It's also written in a personal sense. You be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't think that the Spirit-filled life is for preachers and missionaries and deacons and Sunday school teachers or super saints. Rather, the Spirit-filled life is the blessing and the birthright of every believer. All of us, each one of us, personally, are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's also written in the imperative mood. And that means this is a command. This is not optional equipment for the child of God. It's not like when you go out to buy a brand new car and you have choices and options as to whether or not you want certain things in your car. And we enjoy all of these various options, don't we, that we have on our cars today. But we can pick and choose options on our automobile. But the Spirit of God and the work of Jesus by His Spirit in us is not optional. All of us are commanded to be full of the Spirit of God. And if we're not walking in the Spirit, if we're not living in the Spirit, then we are in direct disobedience to the clear command of Scripture. It's also written in a continuous action of the verb, which could be translated, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is not a once-in-a-lifetime experience, not a spiritual explosion that happens once and then is forever gone. No, the Spirit-filled life happens step by step, day after day, continuous action. Keep on being filled. Keep on allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you. It's written in the passive voice, which means that we allow the Holy Spirit by yielding to Him to fill us. So here's how this verse should be translated. You, each of you, all of you, keep on being filled with the Spirit of God every single day.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Life in the Spirit. God sent His angels to care for His church, to protect you, encourage you, and inspire you to push back the enemy and boldly live out your faith. That's why Dr. Graham wants to send you his book, Angels, to show you you're not alone. Angels is our special thanks for your gift to help boldly proclaim God's Word through PowerPoint's global outreach. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Life in the Spirit.
Now, to be filled with the Spirit of God means to be controlled by the Spirit. If you are filled with anger, that means you're just consumed with the anger. And the anger just overwhelms you. On the contrary, if you are filled with joy and happiness, that means that happiness is just permeating your personality. It's just filling and overflowing your life to be filled with joy. To be filled with anything is to be controlled by that thing. That is why Paul in this verse 5:18 of Ephesians contrasts being drunk with wine with being filled with the Spirit. Now certainly when he says don't be drunk with wine, which is excess, that's a command of God and from the Word of God as well, a clear command. In Scripture, don't be drunk with wine. But not only is that a command, but it serves as a comparison and as a contrast to the Spirit-filled life. When a person is filled with alcohol, that person is consumed or influenced by the alcohol. And the alcohol takes over, and the person's personality may change. His words may differ and so forth. His actions are different. Why? We say a person is driving under the influence or living under the influence of alcohol. In the same manner, Paul contrasts this and says, rather than living under the influence of alcohol, which is to be out of control, you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, live under the influence of the Spirit, which is to be in control and under the control of Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit-filled life is to be full of the Spirit of God and to serve Him and to honor Him throughout the days of our lives by walking in the Spirit. You know, you can work your finger to the bone and try your best, do your best, and fail miserably if you don't have the power of the Spirit. Moses was a burned out believer. He had left Egypt. running from the law, found himself on the backside of a desert. He was empty and wasted, his life set aside. But he drew near one day to a bush that burned with fire. And as he looked into that bush and marveled at the bush that would not burn out, he must have thought to himself, if I could just burn like that bush, if somehow the fire in that bush could get in me. And then he discovered that the fire in the bush was God Almighty, the great I Am. And God spoke to him and called him and showed him with that bush that if he would yield his life to God, that the Lord I Am could use him like he used that bush. Some remarkable things when we see it and experiencing it happening in our lives. Remember when you were talking to a friend who was struggling, perhaps with some temptation, some problem, some crisis, and God gave you words that you don't even know where the words came from. God reminded you of scriptures, and God ministered through you as you spoke to that person. What was that? That's the work of the Comforter, the work of the Spirit. It wasn't you. You didn't have the words. It wasn't your vocabulary. God was speaking through you. Do you remember that time when you were facing a great storm, a crisis, a trial in your life? And you were amazed at the peace that filled you? You were just overwhelmed by the power that sustained you and strengthened you? What was that? The work of the Spirit of God, comforting and enabling you when your heart was breaking, when your loved one died, when that relationship was broken and you didn't know if you could live another day, when your finances reversed and you wondered how you were going to make it to the end of the month. The Spirit of God worked in you and through you and ministered to you and filled you. Now the question is, how? Because this Spirit-filled life is very personal. It's very powerful. But it's also very practical. How do we engage the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? How can we, on a daily basis, live life in the Spirit? Let me mention what I believe it takes for a person to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not a formula, but rather some observations in my own life and as I observe this in the lives of others. Number one, desire. Desire that the Spirit of God work within you. Jesus in John chapter 7 and verse 37 described the work of the Holy Spirit in us as a living stream, a mighty river of God. He said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And just as we desire that the rivers flow and that the fresh waters flow in our lives, just as we desire water physically, we must desire the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are you willing to take hands off of your life and give up the controls of your life and open up to the work of the Holy Spirit in you? Are you willing to turn from lesser things and other things that may be filling your time and you're preoccupying your mind and seek the work of the Spirit, the work of Jesus in you? Even God Himself, God Almighty, will not fill what is already filled. And some of us are so full of self, or even full of sin, that we're cutting off the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So we must be willing to turn from our sin, to repent of anything that is resistant to the work of the Spirit of God, and desire more than anything else that the Spirit of God fill us. To be willing to ask Him to cleanse us, to cleanse the temple of God in order that the water may flow freely and purely. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Secondly, do you want the Spirit of God to fill you? You want to walk in the Spirit daily? Then determine to seek Him every single day. You know why we must seek Him every single day? You know why we need to be filled every day? Because we leak. And one filling is not enough to last a week, much less a lifetime. So let me challenge you to come every day before the Lord and to bow your life before Him and to purposely, intentionally ask Him to fill your life. What do? When you first wake up in the morning, praise Him. Praise God. Offer thanksgiving to God. Open up your day before you even speak to your wife or your husband or your children. Speak with God and praise God. And then A is affirmation. Affirmation. Affirming your life in Christ. Affirming that you belong to Jesus Christ, that you are a child of God, that you belong to Him and that you are saved. Affirming the greatness of God and the grace of God in your life. C stands for control. Yielding control of your life to Jesus. Just simply say, Lord, this is your day. And I give you the right to walk around in my life this day, to take command and take control of every minute, every hour, of every circumstance of my life. Lord, I give you control of my life. And you know what we offer, what we yield, He takes. And what He takes, He cleanses. And what He cleanses, He fills. And what He fills, He uses. Begin with praise, move to affirmation, and then yielding control of your life to Christ, and then let that E in setting the pace for your day be expectations. Make your request be made known unto God and what you're going to expect and ask God to do in your life. Wouldn't that be a wonderful day? Don't you think that would set the pace in your life every single hour of every single day? If you would begin in the presence of God and in the Word of God each step of the way. That's life in the Spirit. Determined to do it. It doesn't simply just happen, but rather it is a result of an action that we take and a response that He gives. And then dedicate your life completely to Him. Sign over the blank check and say, Lord, You have my life. And then do it. Believe and receive. Affirm and confirm that He is filling your life. You don't have to persuade the Holy Spirit to fill you. Only commit to do so.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, Life in the Spirit. The spiritual battle that's raging around us couldn't be more evident. And as a member of Christ's church, you have the support of His mighty angels to win the fight. In his book, Angels, Dr. Graham shows you how to tap into the support God has given you through His angels so you can stand strong and defeat the enemy in the fight for our culture. Angels is our thanks for your gift today to help boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel and the hope it brings to more people around the world through PowerPoint. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Okay, here's the takeaway from the message today. it's important that you realize you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And yet, not every believer is filled with the Spirit of God. And yet, being filled with the Spirit, living under the control of the Holy Spirit in your life, isn't an option. It is a command. The Scripture tells us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an imperative, and it is a critical part of the Christian life. Ephesians 5:18 says it very clearly, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but, and here it is, be filled with the Spirit. So, let me recap how you can live a life filled, controlled by the Spirit of God every day. First of all, desire to be filled with God's Spirit. I don't know how much of the Spirit of God you have in your life, but I know this, you have all that you want. When you desire the Spirit of God to work in you and you invite Him to take control of your life, to change you, to empower you, you will begin to see radical transformation in your life. Just desire the work of the Holy Spirit. Seek Him. Secondly, if you want the Holy Spirit to fill you, then determine to seek Him in every single day. Be intentional about laying your life out before the Lord, surrendering and yielding your life to Him, asking Him to fill you each and every day. And then permit the Holy Spirit to fill you. You don't have to persuade the Spirit of God to fill you, but simply permit Him to do what He already desires to do. The Holy Spirit is ready and willing to fill your life, making you more and more like Jesus. He will empower you and give you wisdom and strength, all that you need for daily living. What you need to do is to allow the Spirit of God to fill you each day. Put Jesus first in your life, and His Spirit will take command and control of your life, and you will begin living life to the glory of God. As you surrender your life to the work of the Spirit, you will begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about today. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's Christ in you. That's the work of the Spirit in you. And these are not qualities that you can develop in your own strength. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. As you allow the Holy Spirit to live in you, these qualities will grow in you and demonstrate to everyone around you the power of God in your life.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, Angels, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. On the next PowerPoint, Dr. Graham brings a message about what it means to experience true, lasting joy. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.